This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Celtics are a loss away from the offseason. The Patriots, meantime, are very interesting with Cam Newton under center. Joining us on the show to talk about it is our friend Dan Shaughnessy of the Boston Globe. Dano, good morning.
Morning, DA. How you doing?
I'm doing great, as always. Always good to hear your voice, and thanks so much for joining us. When it comes to Celtics Nation, are they still optimistic that there's some fight left in the Celtics, or have they written off this green team for the rest of the season?
You know the Hawks around here, D.A. They love the Celtics. They get more love than any team in our region always do. I guess it goes back to the 60s, Bill Russell or whatever, but it's a very forgiving fan base, so I would say they are all in still.
What do you think about the Celtics being down 3-1 to a Heat team that they are clearly superior in talent to?
Yeah, that's the take. I mean, you watch these games. The Celtics have lost 3 games by a total of 11 points. And they don't get blown out, but they look like they take the apple a little bit at the end of close games. And I think they have more talent. I love the Heat. I love the way the Heat play. I mean, hats off to Pat Riley for assembling this team, and I think they're very worthy. They deserve it. Still, Boston had leads of I think, 14 and 17 in the first 2 games. But the Celtics have lost, I think, 6 of their last 9 playoff games now, starting back with that miracle shot against Toronto. And, you know, I think they always kind of operate. They're not as good as they think they are. I mean, the young stars, you know, Brown, Tatum, Smart. There's a lot of that AAU warrior culture going on there. And I think guys just think they've accomplished something when they haven't. So, now they have their backs against it. I can see them winning tonight. I can. If they don't, it's a disgrace, and we'll crush them accordingly.
Where do you rank Brad Stevens? How do you assess how Stevens does if this team does lose this series?
It's like a lot of these guys. He gets a free pass, and I kind of understand it because I do think he's a good coach. I like his mentality. I think it's always hard for a guy who hasn't played in the league to get their attention. But, I mean, Spoelstra's done the job. He's been there 12 years now. I mean, you do see it. But it's easier if you're Doc Rivers or Steve Kerr or what have you. I just think it's harder. And I think for Brad, I mean, there's no way that Brad Stevens is teaching them to play hero ball, iso ball at the end of games 1 and 2. That's not what he's drawing up over there. But then getting them to do it, well, that's the charge of the coach as well. So he does get, you know, I get sucked in as well. He gets slack with me too. But there's a sense of urgency. You know, I said we need a little less Fred Rogers, a little more Fred Smirlis around here. I mean, you know, he's that whole passive, even fighting for your team. I mean, Nurse did a lot of that almost to a fault in that series. And Brad's very measured, which sometimes drives you crazy watching.
Dan Shaughnessy joins us from the Boston Globe. We had a good old-fashioned argument yesterday on the show about what it would mean if the Brooklyn Nets next year get to the NBA Finals before the Celtics did. When after the fleecing done by Danny Ainge, it seemed like the Celtics were in the cockpit of going to the finals every year in the East, and the Nets were dreadful. What do you think that would mean if you assess that trade and the Nets got there first?
Oh, that would hurt, D.A. You're really touching the raw nerve there, third rail stuff. I mean, because there was so much gloating around here about fleecing the Nets all these years. And, of course, you know, the salt on top of that salt would be Kyrie Irving, which is – you know, another guy who people spit on the ground with the mention of his name. So that's a very good hypothetical, which I will try to have some fun with if things don't go the right way here. But so thank you for that. And but yeah, that would be they'd take it really hard if that happened.
Well, it's a weird situation for the Celtics, because do you give them credit for going to the Eastern Conference Finals 3 out of 4 years, or do you mark them down because they can't get over the hump even when LeBron's no longer in the East?
Right. I think that's really a fair question. I think that, Stevens, seventh year for Stevens, didn't make the playoffs the first year, and then it was kind of incremental. But like you say, this is 3 Eastern Conference Finals in 4 years. He's playing a 5 seed now. There's no home court advantage. Appears to have more talent. So, yeah, I think it's time to step up. But 3-1 is a tough hole to claw out of, and not many have done it. And that's, I think, you know, the TV, NBA people got to be hoping for Celtics-Lakers, because even without the Boston-LA part of it, it still has the franchise star power, the signature franchises that have won the most titles, and that would be good for the league. But Miami's fun, man. I mean, they're a fun team to watch, and if you like watching basketball, you like watching the Heat.
Rarely after Patriots losses is there optimism in New England, but these days are different, and I saw a lot of optimism surrounding the Sunday night loss to the Seattle Seahawks. Why is it actually bright skies instead of dark skies after a Patriots loss on Sunday?
It's just so much more fun watching them now. I mean, it's a weird thing. I mean, the Brady era was great in the 20 years, but it wasn't fun at the last few years. You knew what the ceiling was, and, you know, Tom had the frowny face a lot of the times, and you just knew there was a limit. We don't know anything now. I mean, all we know is that Cam Newton's really been fun so far. Could be here for a half hour. Could be, you know, sign on and stay. He has been, you know, model citizen, and he doesn't look hurt, which is why he waited 86 days to get a team. But a lot of teams, if this continues, a lot of teams are going to be looking at themselves saying, why do we stick with our guy when this guy was out there? And they got him for a cheese sandwich for the 1 year. So I don't know where it's going, but I was afraid he might not even make the team. Like, if he's sitting out there all that time, there must be a thing with the shoulder or the ankle, whatever it is, and he's just not there anymore. But that's clearly not the case over the first 2 games. I mean, he's done it both ways, you know, with even some downfield passing, which I wasn't expecting to see.
Boy, this team would be pretty bad if Jared Sittle was starting at under center, right?
Yeah, it feels like it, and that's what I like about watching him, is we don't know, because, you know, in the past it was you could just slot him in to win the AFC East in the first round home game, and then, you know, yada yada, the same thing. But now everybody's really being forced to. I mean, they had 8 guys opt out. Their defense doesn't look as good as they thought it was. There's not a lot of offensive skill players. I mean, it's a mess, and that's why the game. You know, they've had interesting games. I mean, they beat the tomato can Dolphins at home. That was that, and then really pushed Seattle, but their defense didn't look good. And now they got a 2-0 team coming into Foxborough, so it's kind of all ahead of them. And this is a true test of how good Belichick is, because I don't think he has much more than anybody else, if that, this year.
It's interesting. Dan Shaughnessy joins us from the Boston Globe this morning. You've been at every one of those Belichick press conferences, and you've written about this since he's gotten there. Did you think it was purposeful that Bill Belichick has glossed Cam Newton when he had refused to do that publicly about Tom Brady?
Yeah, everything's got a sign of motivation to it. That's not accidental. He's pumping his tires, and it's been decided that they think this is the way to get the most out of him, or to keep him here, or to have him team-friendly, or if they franchise him, whatever. But it's clear he's not getting the, you know, who-are-you treatment, and you haven't done anything here. And I mean, he's talked openly about him. Just a lot of stuff that really very few get here. I mean, Moss got that a little bit. And, you know, I think they go case by case with this. And, you know, Red Auerbach was like that. You know, there's such a thing as special treatment for special talent, and they'll do it if they think it's going to, you know, make things better overall. So that's a concerted effort, and there's no question, like, what you're observing is not accidental.
But you don't think it's contempt for Brady. It's just more about getting more out of Cam Newton.
I think every now and then there's a, you know, twist the knife a little bit. You know, you can feel it. I mean, we watch these weekends. It's like, you know, what's the score? Well, it's Belichick 1, Brady nothing, week 1. And now it's 1-1 going into week 3. And you do. It's like people have both games, and I think that it's unfortunate. It's egos. It's you know what measuring, and it's just it's unfortunate. And then you got the owner who's just dying to get more credit. And so yeah, it's fun to observe. I've come down to the side of Belichick, and Tom was great. I love Tom, but I think that the lion's share of credit for what happened goes to the coach.
Isn't it so funny how desperate the Crafts
want
credit? I mean, every single telecast, I'm pretty sure it's written into the CBS agreement. You must mention the record since Robert Kraft purchased the team.
Yeah, a tradition like none other is the shot of the owners, you know, with the Klieg lights in the box there, even when there's no one else in the stadium, and the high-fiving. It's just, it's obnoxious, and it's ongoing, and it's the neediest situation. Can't get too much.
Check out Dan Shaughnessy's work at the Boston Globe. Go to bostonglobe.com. Read him on Twitter as well. Follow him there for his columns at Dan Shaughnessy. Always good to catch up, Dan. Thanks so much.
Thanks, T.A. Take care, man. Okay.
Bye-bye. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.